G'day, and thanks for tuning in to The Revenue Fix. In today's episode, we're going to look at how to rank your small business website at the top of Google. Now, Google is obviously the most important search engine in the world, and it's where a lot of customers begin their journey to educate themselves on your products and services before they reach out and become a lead and become a customer. So in today's episode, we'll cover off some important topics such as keyword research, on-page optimization, as well as off-page optimization, and everything else that goes into ranking your website at the top of Google. Now, I've been doing this for 13 years. I've ranked hundreds of websites. I've seen pretty much everything there is to see in SEO. And given the nature of Google, it's always changing. It always keeps you on your toes. So I'm going to share with you as much of this wisdom as I can in the hopes that you can apply some of that to get your small business website ranking at the top of Google when people are looking for it. So whether you're a small business owner just getting started or you've been doing SEO for a while and you're looking for ways to improve your website ranking, this episode is for you. So let's get into it. There's often a quoted statistic that 93% of all shopping experiences or like online experiences start with a search engine. So I did some digging into that stat and it turns out that it's often attributed to a company called Infosa that quoted that back in 2017. And it's not clear on whether they just made that up or not. So I did some further digging and it looks like a study by Statista in 2021, which is an online German-based data and visualization gathering platform, they found that about 68% of experiences start with a search engine. Look, it kind of makes sense, right? Like if you're interested in a product or service, you probably want to educate yourself a little bit more about that. And so you're going to turn to a search engine, to Google, to get that information. It kind of makes sense that a lot of people's journeys would start with SEO. And because of that, SEO is super important in the whole buyer's journey. We spoke about that on the last podcast episode in that customers are usually at one of four stages. They're either not aware of the problem and so they're not doing anything about it, or they are problem aware, but they're not sort of actively looking to solve the problem. So hard to target them with a search engine in that case, or they're, considering the solutions that are available to them. And that's usually where most people's journey with a search engine starts, is they're either like trying to define like, what is this problem? What is this thing I'm dealing with? And then, once they understand the problem, then they start to engage and look for solutions to that problem. And so they'll start to look for things in search engines that, how do I solve this problem? Or what's the best product for this problem? And then once they understand the problem and the solution, then they move on to looking for a vendor to do business with. So they're the stages. Search fits into this around that whole people trying to define their problem, get a better understanding of their problem, or looking for solutions for the problem, or looking for vendors. There's a large part of that buyer's journey where SEO or organic search plays a huge part in helping people understand their problems, the solutions available, and the businesses out there to help them solve those problems. SEO, in my opinion, is one of the most important parts of your entire marketing funnel. And that's what we're going to dive deep in today is I'm going to share some tactical things that small business owners can do in order to rank their websites higher in Google and mistakes that I often see small business owners make and some strategies that can help you avoid those mistakes. So that's the goal of this episode, is to really share with you tactical information that you can take back to your business and implement. I'm going to dumb it down. I'm going to try and not use any technical jargon. And if I have to, I'll explain what it all means. So let's dive into it. So the factors that go into ranking a website, it all starts with your customer and what they're looking for. So you really need to understand in great detail, like what is your customer looking for? What's the problem they're trying to solve? Why are they going to a search engine and what sort of information are they trying to get data about? So first of all, what are keywords? They're simply the words that people put into search engines to try and get the information back. And so they're really important to understand what those keywords are. There's four types of keywords. There's information-based keywords, which we've all done that. What's the weather like in Queensland? It's beautiful, by the way. Or how do you convert Fahrenheit to centigrade? Convert this for me. Like we've all done those information-based searches. The other type is navigational-based searches. So they're things like you might be looking for a website, you might be trying to find a place or a location or something like that. So they're navigational keywords. You've then got commercial keywords. So they're keywords that have some form of commercial intent. So plumber, Sydney, or electrician near me, or something like that. It's very clear that the intent of the user is it's commercial in nature. They're looking for a business. And then you have transactional keywords. So they're similar to commercial keywords. That might be me searching for a particular product. So I'm looking for a Moleskine diary, for example, or a thermos cup or something like that, right? So they're keywords that clearly there's a transaction about to take place. So you've got navigational, informational, commercial, and transactional type keywords. What you want to focus on as a small business owner initially is the commercial-based keywords, because if you can get your website ranking for commercial keywords quickly, that's where you'll see the biggest return. Typically, commercial keywords, the users who are searching those are further down the buying cycle. So they understand the problem. They're looking for the solutions or the companies that are near them to do business with. So if we can focus on those commercial keywords and even the transactional keywords, that's where I would start with an SEO strategy. So start to do some keyword research around those transactional and commercial keywords. What are those type of keywords? And they'll be the most obvious ones. So if you're a service company, then it's going to be your service and your location. Lawyer, Brisbane. Plumber, Sydney. If you're a product-based business, then it's either going to be the name of your product, which is a transactional type keyword. So it might be Chrome taps, lawnmower parts, or something like that. Keywords that are transactional in nature, people looking for products. And you could also look at commercial-based keywords for product-based companies, which would be things like plumbing store near me, electrical auto parts, Sydney, something like that. It's a commercial-based keyword for a product. So you want to start with those type of keywords. Now, how do you get that data? There's a number of tools that you can use, and probably one of the best tools for a small business owner is a tool called SEMrush, S-E-M-R-U-S-H, SEMrush. The other tool that's very similar to that is Ahrefs, A-H-R-E-F-S, Ahrefs. So SEMrush and Ahrefs are probably the two leading search tools that most digital marketing agencies use. Like they're the two big ones. I was chatting with my head of SEO, Nathan Bowd, today, shout out Nate B, and he was mentioning that Ahrefs does have a free plan that a small business owner could really tap into and extract a lot of value out of. So check out those two tools. They pretty much both do the same as each other, but they're really, really good. And so you want to go to a tool like that and throw in your keyword and just see how many people each month in Australia or your capital city or state search for that particular keyword. If you're a service business, you know, you probably want to just look in your capital city or in your state and just see how many people are searching those keywords and what are those keywords, and just throw in as many as you can. Like SEMrush has a really great tool called Keyword Magic Tool. So you can just drop a keyword in and it'll give you a bunch of related keywords to that. Now the data, the search volume, it's not 100% accurate. Only Google has that information. And so unless you're running and spending a lot of money on Google Ads, you won't be able to tap into Google's keyword planner, which is really accurate. But SEMrush and Ahrefs still have pretty accurate research. So as long as there's a keyword there with sort of 10, 20, 30 or more people a month searching it, it's probably worth going after. The more people that search that keyword and the clearer the intent of that keyword, then you're going to have a lot of competitors going after it. Like Plumber Sydney would be uber competitive. Like that keyword's going to be off the charts as far as competition goes, because you got a lot of plumbers in Sydney, a lot of people searching that keyword. You're just going to be really struggling to rank if you're starting from scratch for Plumber Sydney. It would probably take you years, because the thing with the businesses that are already ranking, they know how valuable it is. So they're constantly putting money into SEO and widening the gap between all the competitors. So not only do you have to cross and bridge the gap, but then you have to do a little bit more each month to stay in front. So it can get very competitive. So that's where you want to start, keyword research. Really start to get a list together of all the things that your potential customers would be searching for. Now, don't go too broad. Don't just be like, I want to rank for plumbers, or I want to rank for lawyers. Really, really broad keywords that have multiple intents wrapped up into them. Like the keyword lawyers, for example, has got, it could be a bunch of people searching that. Like it could be people looking for jobs. It could be people looking for a lawyer. It could be uni students doing an assignment. It could be marketing companies trying to call people. Like, there's a whole bunch of intents wrapped up in that. But the more specific you can get, like lawyers suburb or divorce lawyers suburb or, you know, personal injury lawyers suburb or who is the best personal injury lawyer in Brisbane, the more specific you can get, hone in on the intent of the keyword being somebody looking to engage the services, the better that's going to be. Google does a pretty good job of trying to figure out what you mean. So if you just put plumbers into Google, actually, let's do it now. I've got my screen open. If I just put plumbers, I'm on the Gold Coast right now. So I'm getting 4 ads at the top, as I should, all from plumbing companies. I get 3 maps listings, all from plumbing companies. And then I get the number one plumber and then like 10 best plumbers Gold Coast summary. And then high pages, yellow pages, a bunch of other plumbers. So yeah, Google's done a pretty good job figuring out where I'm based on my, because it's used my location on my desktop. It's figured out the ads to show me, but in that area. So I'm getting local plumbers. I'm not getting random plumbers from across the country. But that keyword, trying to optimize for that keyword, you wouldn't try and optimize just for plumbers. You would want to optimize for your local area and then let Google work out that, oh, well, this plumbing company is optimizing for Gold Coast plumbers. This user is on the Gold Coast. We should show them that website. That's how Google would be trying to figure it out. So yeah, back to my original point, which is don't go too broad. Like try and be really, really specific and use the keywords that your customers would use. So that would be my tip around keyword research. So you want to start there. The next thing, once you have a list of those keywords that you want to optimize for, you then need to go ahead and structure your website to rank for those keywords. So this is what's called on-site or on-page optimization. It's also often referred to as technical optimization. It's all of the stuff that you can do to your website to optimize it, to give it the best chance of showing up for the keywords that you want to rank for. So this is why it's important to start with keyword research first. You need to understand what your customers are looking for before you then go and do a bunch of work on your website. Because unless you know what they're looking for, you're not going to know what to optimize for on your website. So step two is, once you have that list, you want to then go and optimize your website to show up for those keywords. Now, quick rule of thumb, try and optimize only one page per keyword. So don't try and optimize your homepage of your website for 50 different keywords because it's going to be too confusing. Google's not going to know what it's about. So if you're a lawyer, for example, and you offer family law, commercial law, criminal law, personal injury law, right? Don't try and optimize your homepage for personal injury lawyers Brisbane, family lawyers Brisbane, commercial lawyers Brisbane, criminal lawyers Brisbane, because it's too confusing and you'll dilute the value of that homepage. Google will look at it and go, what is this about? Now, in some cases, depending on the competitiveness of the keyword, you can get away with it. But general rule of thumb, just have one page per keyword that you want to optimize for. So if you are a lawyer, sticking with that example, create a page all about personal injury law and why you're the best personal injury lawyer in Brisbane. Talk a little bit about the Brisbane market, similar accidents that you see happen up in Brisbane, why they happen. You know, it's often very humid and wet, and because of that, people slip over a lot and blah, blah, blah. Like, get really contextual about the service and the location that you're trying to optimize for. So that's the rule of thumb. One keyword to optimize per page. Now, there's many, many articles on how to optimize website pages for a keyword. So just go to Google and say, how do I optimize my page for a keyword? You'll see a bunch of articles. I mean, Backlinko, Moz, the SEMrush blog, Ahrefs blog, they've got all fantastic resources of how to do it. But a quick rule of thumb is you want to have the keyword in the title tag of your page. You want to have the keyword in the meta description of your page. You want to have the keyword in the H1 tag, the heading one tag of your website, and only have one heading one. And you want to have sort of similar related keywords in heading two. You want to try and use that keyword in the first sentence of your website as well, and the last sentence of your website. So there's some sort of rules of thumb that you can do, because when Google's looking at the page, it's just a robot. It's not as smart as a human. So you've got to sort of dumb it down enough so that if the robot looks at your page, there's enough data on the page to tell it that, oh, this must be about family lawyers in Brisbane. Okay, I get it. So if a user's looking for family lawyers Brisbane, this is the best page of the website, because that keyword, family lawyers Brisbane, is in the title, the meta description, the heading one, the first sentence, the last sentence, and similar related keywords are throughout the other headings on the website. The image is also tagged with an alt attribute of the keyword. Don't go overboard, but they're sort of the critical places. Like, don't put like family lawyers Brisbane, family lawyers Brisbane, family lawyers Brisbane as the heading, because it looks like keyword stuffing. Just be natural about it, but just include it in those sections that I mentioned. So now you've got the keyword research dialed in. You know the main keyword. You've got a page dedicated to that keyword. And you've optimized it as best you can. So that's a good start. The next thing that you want to do, apart from, sorry, the other thing I should mention as far as on page, and look, on page and technical is super deep. I could have a whole 2-hour episode on this, but some other, but I'm trying to keep it simple for small business owners who may not be web developers. The other thing you want to make sure is that your page is loading really, really quick. You want to have a look at Page Speed Insights by Google. So just Google Page Speed Insights and use Google's Page Speed tool to get an understanding of how quickly your website loads. You want to try and have it load as quickly as possible, right? You don't want to have people waiting 10 seconds. We've all had that experience. It's a shit experience. You want the website page to load as quickly as possible. Some things that can help you out there is try and compress your images to be as small as possible without making them pixelated or fuzzy. There's a bunch of tools online you can do with that. Like if you just go image compressor in Google, you'll see a whole bunch of tools. Run your images through an image compressor. So it reduces the size, but not the quality of the image. And that will reduce the load time of your website. The other thing you want to do is make sure your website is on a really good server. Don't have it sitting on some, you know, cheap ass shared server with, you know, a hosting company that's charging you like $40 a year, because you're not going to get the performance. I've tested about 30 hosting companies over my years, and nothing has beaten, if you've got a WordPress site, nothing beats WP Engine. So WP Engine is, in my opinion, the best hosting out there for WordPress websites. Super quick, amazing security, backed up daily. You know, shout out to WP Engine. They're not a sponsor, but it really is a great service. Because one of the important metrics that Google uses to measure page speed is going to be your time to first byte, TTFB. And that is simply how long does it take to get the first bit of information from the server. If your server's over in the States and you're an Australian business, but your website server is in the United States, even though it travels at the speed of light, basically, if a user goes, hey, I want to get to this website, and your server's overseas, it's got to go overseas, go through all the routes to get there, pull the information back, and that could take a second, right? You want to keep your time to first byte below 200 milliseconds. So having a server that's, you know, really close to where your customers are, or a content development network, a delivery network, then that's the best solution. And so for that reason, if you're an Australian company, just use WP Engine. You'll pay a bit more each month, but it's highly worth it. So page speed is another thing to consider. It's not the be all and end all. Like, none of these tips I'm telling you is going to be a silver bullet. You just have to do them all. Okay. And other technical stuff, just have a really simple, layout to the website. Like, don't try and overcomplicate it. Don't try and, you know, build your website to manipulate search engines. Build your website for the user, the end user. Give them the best experience, because if you give them the best experience, Google's going to interpret those signals and they're going to probably rank your website at the top. Okay, so on-page optimization, just do those basic things that I mentioned previously and you should be, you know, 90% of the way there, okay? So now you've got the page optimized on the site. The next thing you want to do is you need to start building the credibility of that page in order for it to rank. So when you first build your website and you first build a page that you're trying to rank for, it's going to have zero credibility with Google. So you need to really build that credibility up. And one of the things that you can do to build that up is what's called backlinks. So you need to get other websites to link to your website. It's easier said than done. Backlinks are really hard. So there's a couple of forms of it. If you're a local business, the first thing you want to do is you want to get your business citations dialed in. So go ahead and create yourself a Google business profile and go ahead and create a Bing business profile. Once you've got Google business profile, Bing business profile, optimize it, put all your details in. Make sure the name of your business, the address, and the phone number are identical. The easiest way to do this is to write out your name, address, and phone number in a text document or Word document, and then just copy paste. And that way it's going to be the same when you do it, okay? SEMrush has also got another really great tool which will allow you to build local citations automatically. So you basically pay $20, I think it is, a month, $20 a month with SEMrush, and then you post your name, address, phone number, all your business details, and then SEMrush goes and builds all of your business citations for you. So they'll go and create all those links. So that's first step, get your citations dialed in. So you want to be listed on all the main directories. You want to have all the same data. So when Google's looking at it all, it's like, okay, this is the same business and it's everywhere. The phone number matches, the address matches, the name matches, everything matches. Great. This is a good business. So that's your citations. That's a type of link. The next link is getting other websites to link back to you. So the backlinks are difficult. I would suggest this is probably one area you want to outsource to a specialist because, and you don't want to, don't cheapen out on this because cheap links, you know, aren't good. Like if you're paying almost nothing to have someone do your backlinking, they're probably building really shit links and it's not going to help your SEO efforts. You want to find a really good provider that can go out there and do the outreach and build the links and put in the effort that's required to get those links, create the content, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like it's a big job. Hire an expert for this area and they'll be able to tell you based on your competition, we need to build 50, 100, 200 links, whatever it is. It just depends on how well optimized your competitors are and how much competition there is for the keyword that you're trying to go after. That's going to determine how much work you have to do. And typically it comes down to backlinks. Why do I say that? Because everybody has control of their own website and everybody should be able to optimize their website in line with Google's policies and best practices. So having a well-optimized, technically sound website is table stakes. That's like your ante up, right? The competitive advantage will come from the number of other websites you can get to link back to you, as well as the quality of your content and how users are engaging with that content. Because if, for example, if you spend a ton on backlinks, you rank your website number one, but your content's terrible and people just bounce from your site, they come to it and go, oh, this is terrible. And they bounce away pretty quick. Bad signal to send to Google and they'll demote you because of that. They do not want poor user experiences clogging up their search engines because if Google's sending users to shitty websites, people will lose faith in Google. That's why page speed is an important user metric because most people are looking at the web on their mobile devices. You want to have your website optimized super quick load time. So when someone clicks your site, it almost loads instantly on their phones. That's a good user experience. We don't want to be waiting around for 3, 4, 5 seconds for this bloody website to load because that's frustrating. And we've all probably hit the back button when the website hasn't loaded in time because we're super impatient and all our attention spans are cooked from too much social media. So you want to make sure that those user experiences are a good experiences because Google will demote you on that. So back to backlinks, you want to go out and build as many good quality backlinks as you can to your website. And like I said, engage a third party to do that. Engage a specialist link provider or link builder or SEO company like Yo Media, shout out, to go and build those links for you. All right, so now you've got, you know, really great, you've got a keyword that people are looking for. You've got a really great page that's well optimized. It's got good content. And you've got a backlink program in place that's building the credibility and building up those links to your site so that Google will give it a priority ranking. As I said, I've optimized hundreds of campaigns and same with the team here at Yo Media. And it's a direct correlation between when we build links and increase credibility and have a technically sound website, you see the ranking goes up. That's sort of the long and the short of how to rank the website. The other thing you want to think about then is, okay, well, we've got a keyword, we've got traffic coming to the site, we're ranking really well, we're getting all these visitors, but nobody's converting. People aren't turning into customers. Why is that? So the second half of this whole SEO equation is you need to think about what's the next step for customers to take, because getting the customer to the page is half the battle. The other half is getting them to take the action that you want them to take. And the way to do that is through good copy, direct response copy that taps into the person's problem and sells them on the next step. See, your website doesn't necessarily have to sell your service, particularly if you're, as I said in a previous podcast, if you're a service-based company, very rarely do people pull out their credit cards and buy services through your website. They usually have a consultation process or a quote process or something. You don't just whip out your card and buy a plumber. You get them out, they do a quote, they give you the inside info on what's going on, and then, you know, you negotiate and then you do the deal. Products are a bit different. If somebody's looking to buy something, then yeah, you got to have your website optimized with good direct response copy that entices that user to buy the product. But we need to make sure we're thinking about what's the strategy here with SEO. Like, why are we bringing the people to the website? Why did we optimize for that particular keyword? What's the next logical step in the buying process for a customer? And you need to set that up on the website. Too often do we see when we do audits for sites, we'll go to the page and it's just like a blog post or it's just a big block of content. And it's like, okay, well, great. One, no one's going to read it because it's poorly written. And then two, What's the call to action here? Like, do I buy something? Do I download something? Do I book an appointment? Like, what is it? So you want to have all that stuff dialed in, because every page should be trying to capture a user's information and get them onto that next step. And SEO is no different. Having some best practices around the layout, making sure there's some sort of button on the page that is a very clear call to action, not like, get started, learn more. Like, they're really passive and terrible calls to actions. You want to have things like buy now, or schedule a call, or book a session, whatever it is. Like, be really obvious with the user what you want them to do. What's next? Some case studies. Let me share with you a couple of things around clients that we've worked with that we've helped. We had a customer, a big law firm down in Melbourne. They came to us. Well, actually, I cold called them and got in there, had a meeting. Right place, right time. They came on board as customers, and their initial website that we were working on was pretty poor. I don't even think it was built on WordPress. I think it was just custom coded. So changes were really difficult. We had to like recode a page every single time. The client had absolutely no idea how to update their website. They wanted to, but they had no idea. I mean, we were struggling to update it. They had no chance of updating it. We rebuilt the website. That was one of the first things. And the other thing was, we had to set up all the tracking, the conversion data, write really great content, put in place all the fundamentals, everything I just spoke to you about before. We did that for this company. And they went from, I think when we first took over, they were ranking at position 65 for this particular keyword in Melbourne. So, like, there's 2,000 people a month searching this keyword. Super, super valuable keyword. And over the course of about 12 months, we got them to page one. And then over the next 6 months, we got them to the top three. And as of 3 weeks ago, they're number one. And so that was a process of almost 2 years, I think, to really build it up to that. But the amount of leads coming through now every month, hundreds and hundreds of high quality leads come through every single month. So it's very valuable when you can do it right. And one of the key things to the success of that website was the fact that there was a really great offer. Because to quote Russell Brunson, hook, story, offer is generally the three things you have to have on a website in order for it to pique people's interest, get them bought into the story, and then give them a fantastic offer. So the hook is the thing that grabs their attention. Doesn't have to be anything related to the product. Could be like a pink rhinoceros showing up in the newsfeed in Facebook. They're like, whoa, what's that? That's the hook. Start its job. It's stop the user. They're looking at you now. And then your story is, well, what story are you going to tell them to get them to take an action? And so in SEO, the hook is the title. The title of each of them, usually it's in blue text, that's sort of the hook. You want to have your keyword in that hook, but you also want to have some other words in there that stops the user in their tracks. Because if they're looking through all the search results, why are they going to stop on yours? And if everyone's saying the same thing, Plumber Sydney, Plumber Sydney, Plumber Sydney, Plumber Sydney, why are they going to stop on yours? You need to have something else in there that stops them, that disrupts them, that stands out from the competition, so that in amongst all of that search or all of those search results, yours was the ones that, and you could just have something as simple as like stop with a big exclamation mark. Like, that might just be enough to have people go, whoa, what's that? And then that's it. The hook's done its job. And then the story, which is generally the description that you see in the black text under the blue text on the search result page, that description, that's essentially your story. You're trying to sell them on the click at that point. You're not trying to sell them on anything else other than you should click on my search result above, instead of all the others. Don't try and sell your services. We're the best plumbing company and blah, blah, blah. No one gives a shit, because every other business is saying that same thing. So yes, you've got to try and fit a keyword in there, but have it in such a way that it's elegant enough that it makes sense, but the rest of the text tells the story as to why people should click on you. Now, because you're only trying to sell the click from the search result page, you can be pretty cheeky there, and you can have something a bit left of field where people are like, okay, I'm interested. There's enough curiosity here for me to see what are these guys all about? And they'll click on your listing. Once they've come to your website, job done. Now, new hook, story, offer. So back to my point around why that previous lawyer website that I mentioned to you worked so well was because we had a really, really great offer on the page. And when we looked at most other companies, their competitors, no one was running an offer that good. And so because of that, they got most of the leads. We were able to incorporate that really great offer into the hook story part. We were able to incorporate it into the landing page. Because of that, they're basically dominating. Really important to have a good offer. Offer somebody something to take them on that next step, because the hook, story, offer is a really important part of SEO. That's one case study. Another case study is we had another company up in Sydney. I can share a bit more about this because they have made a great testimonial for us. So Stevens and Associates came to us. They weren't ranking. We put in place an SEO campaign, got them ranking pretty quickly for Employment Lawyers Sydney. I think they're now top three. They were getting about one call a month from their previous campaign, and now they're generating about 50 calls a month from their SEO campaign, purely because we moved them from page six up to the top three. And they've got a really great offer. We had to do some website development. We updated their site because with employment lawyers, it's really interesting. You've got both employees and employers looking for advice on how to handle things. So you're catering to these very two different audiences. So you need to have a website that can quickly send those users on their own little path, because you don't want the employees going on the employer page and vice versa. So we had to build this site so that you could sort of hit a page, choose who you are, and then bang, you would have contextual content based on whatever avatar you were, employee, employer, whatever. That was a really great case study. We had to look at who are the competitors, who's currently ranking, how well optimized are they? So how many backlinks have these competitors got? Is their page structured well? What is the messaging on the page? And then we had to differentiate ourselves or the client from all of that. So we had to come up with a different angle. We had to come up with more backlinks. We built a ton of really great backlinks, updated the website with really great copy and content. And because of that, they rank really well. Okay, so a couple of questions that came in. First of all, what are the most common SEO mistakes that small businesses make? Based on my experience, and also I had a chat with our head of SEO here, Nathan Bowd, and we came up with a list of what we've seen in our careers as the most common mistakes that business owners are making when they try to DIY their SEO. So the first thing would be, we see a lot of over-optimized websites. So we see a lot of companies and businesses trying to put their keyword everywhere, all over the site. They've got multiple pages of content, which pretty much all say the same thing. There's no clear strategy around what page are we trying to rank for what keyword. It's just like this whole mishmash of content that's just spewed forth in the hope that they'll rank for something. And a really great tip here is, if you want to see what your website currently ranks for, go to one of those two tools, SEMrush or Ahrefs, put your website in, and it'll give you a list of every single keyword that you're currently ranking for, the position that you're ranking in, the number of people searching that keyword, the page of your website that's showing up when people search it, and the difficulty, the keyword difficulty of how competitive is that keyword from an organic point of view. So how many other competitors are trying to go after it? And so that gives you that can just give you a clear picture on, oh, wow, we're not ranking for anything, or actually we're ranking really well for some of these pages. Because what Google's trying to do is, if you've got a ton of this content on your website, Google's trying to sort through it and go, what is this page? What is this site about? And what page should I show for each, you know, keyword? Like, it's trying to work out what your website's about. And if you're just writing content and content and content and content, because someone said your content's king, if you're just spewing forth crappy content with no strategy, chances are you're not ranking for anything. So we see that all the time. The amount of websites that come to us, and here's a really bit of pull back the curtain here, is a really great insight. One of the first things we do is we crawl the entire site. So we use a tool called Screaming Frog, and we pull in the API data from Google Analytics, Google Search Console, Ahrefs, and Google's PageSpeed, so we can have all that data on one spreadsheet. Run the crawl, and we look at every single page on the website. And when it comes to blog posts, I would say 90 to 95% of all the blog posts on a client's website have no traffic over the last 12 months, or you know, like maybe one or two users, but almost zero traffic. They have zero backlinks, and they're not ranking for anything. So you can pretty much just delete all that, and it's going to have zero impact on your website. That's one of the most common things that we see, is that clients are just creating these blog posts and blog posts because fresh content, you've got to keep the content fresh, we need more content, blah, blah, blah. You don't, right? Unless there's a strategy for that content, like it's either going to help flesh out a particular topic, or you're going to backlink it and try and rank it for something so you can get some really good on-site metrics. Unless you're going to put budget and strategy behind it, don't create the page, because you're just creating useless content that no one's ever going to find. And that, we see that all the time. Like, I'll crawl it, pull up all the blogs, and zero traffic. So that's a very common mistake. And I would put that in the category of sort of over-optimization. The people just over-optimizing their websites, doing all this busy work, but nothing's really moving the needle because they don't understand the main leverage points for SEO. All right, looking at my list here. Oh, another one we see is multiple websites on different domains or businesses that purchase multiple domains. So a lot of the time I get the question of, hey, I also own these five or six other domains, you know? So say, for example, we'll take the Lawyers Brisbane example. Oh, I own personalinjurylawyersbrisbane.com.au. I own familylawyersbrisbane.com.au. I own criminallawyersbrisbane.com.au. And we've got our main website, which is xyzattorneys.com.au. How can we leverage that? And I'm like, you can't. You can't leverage just a domain name. There's just no value in that. The only way you could leverage it is if you build a website on that domain name, you do all the optimization tips that I just mentioned before, you backlink it, you build up the credibility, and you get it to a point where it is ranking for a ton of really great keywords, and then you link that website back to your main website. That could have some value, but you might as well just try and optimize your existing website. Stop buying domain names, or if you're going to buy them from us. Because if you ring me up and say, hey, I want to buy this domain name, I'll probably talk you out of it. Because you would only buy a domain name if you plan to build a really great website on it. Otherwise, you're just wasting your money. And we've all, me included, I'm sure we all have a bunch of domain names that we've purchased, maybe after a couple of glasses of wine, because we thought it was a good idea to own that domain name and one day build a great website. But the truth is the investment required to build a website of decent enough quality in this day and age to get rankings and traffic and customers, you might as well just optimize your existing website because you've probably already got credibility there and some form of momentum. So yeah, don't try and build other websites, like multiple websites that all say the same thing. So we had a customer once who had like six or seven other websites all saying the same thing, all linking back to each other. And it was just duplicate content. It was a mess. We basically just deleted it all and the rankings skyrocketed for their main website. So don't do that. Same with syndicated blog posts and content. I would advise not to buy content or blog posts that are also being used elsewhere. So often it's called syndicated content. You'll push out a blog post and that same blog post will be used by 15, 20 other businesses in your industry. If you're going to do that, don't index the page. So you could do it so that you've got some form of content on your website. If you don't have time to write content, you just want to buy this blog post from someone and syndicate it on your page. Great, by all means, do it. It's probably not going to add that much value. and to see if anyone else has that content, go ahead and copy-paste a paragraph into Google and see if it shows up anywhere else. And if it does, just either change the post enough so it's different or flag it as a no index. So basically, when you flag something as a no index, you just tell Google, hey, please don't index this page. I don't want it in Google's index. So it's kind of blind to Google. So that's another mistake we see. Another common mistake is a lack of keyword strategy. So like I said earlier, there's just no strategy around the keywords that people are trying to optimize for, or they're too broad. You want to really get focused on that keyword, on those keywords that you're trying to optimize for. Just be very mindful of the intent behind the keyword. Broad keywords are tough to rank for, and it's tough for even Google to work out what that keyword's about. That's why if you search cybersecurity Melbourne, for example, 2 years ago, all that would show up for that result were cybersecurity companies. Now, because cybersecurity is such to the forefront of online security, the things that now show up for it, and we've been very close to this keyword, so we've seen the changes happen, is you probably get about a third of the results will be businesses, another third will probably be some sort of government or information type stuff, and another third will be universities, schools, degrees, diplomas, things like that. Oh, and actually, another one, so a quarter, would be job boards and things like Seek, Indeed, people looking for cybersecurity jobs. The keyword intent over time can change, and that's another thing you want to monitor. Be really intentional about the keywords that you're trying to optimize for. Another one is not tracking progress. That's another common mistake. We often will do an audit and nothing's dialed in from an analytics point of view. Either there is no Google Analytics on the website, or the analytics is there, but there's no conversion data set up. So it's hard to know how many leads are coming through each month because no one's set up the conversion goals at the back end to track the conversions that come through. So that's another big one, actually. Make sure when you're setting up your analytics, you're thinking about what is the conversion that we want to happen and how can we track that conversion? So there's some really cool tools that you can use. Google Analytics is obviously one of them. Another is if you're a service-based company and you're relying on a lot of phone calls, then start tracking call data. So there's platforms out there like CallRail or Delicon. And essentially, so what we do at Yo is we use Delicon and we use a 1-300 number. So when you call the 1-300 number on the Yo Media website, it's going to track everything about you. It's going to track where you came from. Was it organic search, paid search, social media, direct track? Like, did you come direct to the website? It'll track the keyword that you used if you came through paid search or the campaign that you used through social media. And it'll also record the phone call. So if we want to go back and have a listen to it, we can. So all of that data is captured. It's ported into Google Analytics, which is then also ported back to the ad platform that we're using. And so we can get a really good understanding of where are the calls coming from? How many calls are we getting? What's the quality of those calls like? What are the keywords that are resulting in a lot of calls? As well as all that same data for people who are submitting email forms. So we use HubSpot to capture all the email data. So if somebody comes from Google Ads to our website, submits a form, we can tell what keyword they used, what campaign they clicked on, have a look at every single page that they looked at leading up to the conversion. So we get a lot of rich data around that. So actually, that's another good tip. If you're a small business, use HubSpot. I think it's like now it's $30 a month or $20 a month per user. And you can get access to their forms, stick that form on your website along with the tracking code, and you'll now be able to start capturing some really rich data associated with all the leads that are coming through your website. What's another common small business mistake? Local SEO. So there's a strategy in local SEO where, let's say you want to rank for a bunch of suburbs. So you're in Brisbane, but you also want to rank for all the suburbs within Brisbane that you service. So it might be like Norman Park, Ashgrove, Toowong, Indooroopilly, whatever, right? Back in the day, you could just create a standalone page that was like focused on the keyword of plumber Morningside. And you could just have a bunch of content, build some links, and you would rank for plumber Morningside because that's the competition for that keyword is going to be pretty low. But then you also copy paste that to Indooroopilly, and now you've basically just swapped out the word Morningside for Indooroopilly, but all the rest of the content's the same. And you do that like 30 or 40 times or however many suburbs you want to target. So you've got all this duplicate content with only the name of the suburb that's been changed. And that's what's called boilerplate content. So boilerplate content, to be honest, sometimes it still works. It's not best practice, but depending on the difficulty of the keywords that you have. But the best practice would be having unique content for every one of those suburbs. And the easiest way to do that is just talk about the suburb and maybe the specific issues that relate to that suburb. Put the map of the suburb through, like embed Google Maps onto the page, and just try and make that page as unique as possible in comparison to all the other pages that you're trying to optimize for. So that's a big one that we see is people just using boilerplate content, copy paste, and they've got 50 suburbs. And as I said, sometimes it can still rank, but the more competitive your niche, the harder that strategy is going to be to get working. Poor quality backlinks is another one. So seeing websites that have gone out and hired a really cheap link builder to go and build terrible links. It's not that that will penalize you. Google was very specific about not penalizing other websites. The reason is because back in the day, there was a practice called link bombing. So what you could do is if you didn't like your competitor and you wanted to de-rank their website, you could just build a bunch of adult websites back to their site and Google would be like, whoa, this website's got a bunch of R-rated, X-rated websites pointing to it. We should de-rank it because it's probably also porn. And so, you know, that was a way to get rid of your competitors. That practice of link bombing doesn't really happen now. So what Google's done instead is they're like, we just won't put any value on those links. It's not that you'll be penalized, but you're just not going to get any value from it. So you might as well just not have bought those links or hired that link builder. Don't buy links, by the way. So what's another one? Focusing the website on looking good and not optimizing it. So a lot of the time we'll see really pretty good looking websites, but that's all they are. They're not marketing machines. They're just basically a piece of art that belongs in a museum for people to look at and admire. You don't focus so much on making your website look pretty. Focus on making it super functional and super valuable for the end user. Images not optimized for speed. That's another one. So as I said before, compress your images, make sure they can load super quick. And what's probably the last one would be, I mentioned no call to action. We see that a lot. The other would be not thinking about mobile. So when you're designing a website or if you're working on your website, always look at how it looks on your website because the majority of your traffic is probably coming from a mobile device. So what? And Google's algorithm is mobile first. So they look at the mobile version of your website first and then you know that can help determine your desktop ranking as well. So pay more attention to the mobile because that's where everyone sort of shifted to. It's where Google's really shifted to a few years ago, their mobile first algorithm. Think about how does the website perform on a mobile device? Okay, two more questions. How long does it take to see results from SEO? Very common question. I get it all the time in every sales pitch. The answer is, and it's going to suck for you, it just depends. The biggest thing that will come into play there is your competitors. What keywords are you trying to rank for and who also currently ranks for them? How difficult is it? Plumber Sydney, as I mentioned before, is going to have a much higher difficulty score than, say, Plumber Morningside, which is a little suburb in Brisbane, because the amount of businesses going after Plumber Morningside is small compared to the amount of businesses going after Plumber Sydney. And most users will search for Plumber Sydney, or a lot more users will search for that than they will Plumber Morningside. So because of that, the keyword's more, depending on how valuable the keyword, that would dictate how many businesses are trying to go after it, and also how long have they been going after it, and what's the gap between them and you, because that's the gap you need to bridge. So if you're looking at Plumber Sydney and most of the top websites have got over 1,000 backlinks, you're going to have to build over 1,000 links to compete. And they've got to be good quality links too. That's something you want to consider is how difficult is the keyword I'm trying to go after, because that's going to determine how long it's going to take you or how much work you're going to have to do. And then also your budget will factor into it. If you have a huge budget, you could probably bridge that gap faster than if you didn't have a big budget, because the level of work will obviously determine the level of investment, and you know that will determine the speed. So that's another thing you can get from Ahrefs and SEMrush, is you can put that keyword data in and you can see who are the top three websites already ranking. Or even just go to Google, grab those three websites, and then do a competitor analysis in SEMrush or Ahrefs and just have a look at how well optimized they are. That will give you some understanding of the gap that you need to bridge. So yeah, tough one with that one. But look, anywhere from 3 months right up to 2 years, depending on how difficult it could be. That's how long it might take you to get to page one, top three. The other thing I should point out is page one's good, but top three is where you have to be. So you want to be ranking in those top three search results because that is really where the money is. Most people will click a top three search result. When I say most people, 60% of people will click a top three search result. The other 40%, 10% of that will click a Google ad. And the remaining 30% of people will click another listing on page one, and almost 0% will click a listing on page two. Really, you got to be in that top three. What are some new trends in SEO that small businesses should be aware of? Well, AI-generated copy is a big one. Don't rely too heavily on AI because Google can determine if it's copy written by AI or not. There's a bunch of tools out there that you can run copy through to tell you whether it's been generated by, or the chances that it's been generated by AI. But in saying that, AI is really great to leverage to give you ideas. AI generated copy is a really big trend that everyone's talking about it. Everyone's banging on about it. It's definitely accelerated the pace of content generation. Just be mindful though that you want to have unique content that's in your voice. So use it as a good starter and then add your own flavor to it. Voice search is pretty big, not so much for commercial or transactional intent keywords, but for information-based keywords. For small businesses though, voice is probably not as relevant. You're not going to be like, hey, Google, show me the top three plumbers in Melbourne. Maybe it'll get to that, but at the moment, most people will just pull out their phones and do that search because they want to dive deep in who these businesses are. And mobile SEO. Mobile, as I mentioned before, Google's got a mobile first algorithm. So yeah, I mean, that's probably not a trend or that's sort of a staple now, but keep thinking about mobile and optimizing for mobile. What are your top tips for ranking a small business website at the top of Google? Well, I gave them to you in this entire podcast. So some other ones would be, create that Google business profile if you're a local business. Focus on the strategy of your keyword. Like, what keywords are we going to rank for? Why are we going to rank for them? When we bring the person to the site, what is the action we want them to take? How are we going to capture their data? You know, how are we going to track and measure? All that kind of stuff. Like, really focus on that. build a website that's rich on content, that's deep on what you do. A really good resource would be Donald Miller and his Marketing Made Simple podcast, book, whatever. Story Brand Marketing is another good book from Donald Miller. He makes the whole process of marketing so simple and really intuitive for people to get the information they need. So I would recommend Donald Miller to any small business owner. I think he's really great. And be patient. That would be another tip. Just be patient. SEO takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. If you want to rank number one in Google tomorrow, Google Ads. Just start a Google Ads campaign and start ranking number one. And lastly, this will be the last one. What are some of the challenges that small businesses face when it comes to SEO? All right. So dodgy SEO companies is probably one. Beware of dodgy SEO companies. Companies that promise you the world for almost next to nothing for a couple hundred bucks every month. Just be careful of them, because if you're trying to do it today and an SEO company is quoting you $100 a month or $200 a month, I mean, save you money. You're not going to get anything for that. There's just no way. Like, when you think about the amount of time and effort that's required to do all that stuff I just mentioned to you before and keep backlinking on a monthly basis, I mean, it's going to be hard to find people who know what they're doing that are quality for that sort of price. So just be careful of really, really cheap SEO companies that promise you a lot. Time constraints is another challenge. It's going to take a lot of time for you to figure this out, particularly on even just how to make the changes to your website. Like, unless you're a web designer or developer, trying to navigate the technical side of things and which plugin to use, use Yoast, by the way, for small businesses. It's the easiest SEO plugin for a WordPress website. But yeah, trying to understand and the time that it takes to do SEO. You're a small business owner. You haven't got time to spend, well, maybe you do because you've got no customers. But if you've got customers and you're trying to do all the other things in the business, sell, marketing, finance, delivery, all the stuff, managing team, whatever, there's going to be very little time in the day left to do good quality SEO work, or you're going to be up late doing it. Yeah, time constraints is definitely a big challenge that small businesses will face, because the learning curve for SEO is very steep and you're up against some of the best in you know, the country when it comes to SEO. Technical expertise. So like I said, you're probably not a web designer or developer. So unless you've got the time to put in to learn the technical side of things, it can be very difficult, overwhelming, and you know, you could break something. And then if you break it and you don't know how to fix it, your website's stuffed. You're going to have to hire someone anyway. Competition is another challenge that you're going to face. A lot of businesses know the value of SEO. So you're going to have a lot of competition and competitors going after keywords that are valuable. And you're up against other SEO companies. A lot of the really switched on companies know that they're time poor and they're happy to invest in a good quality SEO company that gets results. So if you're trying to go after a keyword that you're up against a company that is 100% dedicated to ranking their client, they've got all day, every day, a whole team of people, they've got all the insights that you don't have, that's what you're up against. Competition is a big challenge for small businesses. And also algorithm updates, staying on top of Google's algorithm. It changes twice a day. In 2022, I think they did over 600 algorithm updates. Some of them weren't significant, but a lot of them were. So even just trying to stay up to date with all that stuff, I mean, we're flat out staying up to date with that. Changing intent of keywords, like I said before about the cybersecurity keyword, intent is sometimes changing depending on what Google defines a keyword as. There's a big challenge for small businesses is trying to keep up with all that stuff. It's difficult. My advice is always just hire an expert. You're probably not doing your own taxes. You're probably not writing your own legal contracts. You're probably not doing your own surgery on yourself if you need it. So hire experts, but just know what to look for. And this, hopefully this podcast has given you some understanding that the technical work, the on-site, the content, and the links are the most important things that you need to be mindful of. And if you're going to engage an SEO company, make sure they're reporting back to you on what they're doing. And you've got visibility 24/7 into the keywords that you're ranking for and all that kind of stuff. That is it. They're my tips for how to optimize your website if you're a small business owner to get it to the top of Google. If you have any questions as a result of this podcast or if something wasn't clear, just drop me a DM. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn. You can email me at yomedia. Yeah, I'm happy to answer any questions and even do another episode or any other follow-up questions that you guys might have. So thanks for listening. As always, hope this was valuable and stay tuned for more. Cheers.